We are joined in the studio now by Anna Richards, who heads up the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP. Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP.com is the website if you want to find out more about upcoming events, of which they've got a few. Anna, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So actually, let's start by talking about events, because I know you've got a couple upcoming that you want to get the word out about. You just had one, the Bayard Rustin event, as part of Pride Month, right?
We did, and really, I thought I knew a lot about Bayard Rustin, and had a great film, short documentary, about 50 minutes, and Dr. Hildebrand set the stage for us, and he's always great as a historian,
a local historian.
Who was able to tie together the Chapel Hill connection, as well as raise some interesting questions for us to ponder during our discussion. We had a panel after the film. So, great event. I want to make sure people know that due to the 4th of July holiday being on a Thursday, a lot of folks are taking that weekend. And so we moved our regular membership meeting from the first Saturday of July to the second Saturday. So it'll be 1 o'clock on July 13th, still at the Rogers Road Community Center. And the meeting will be a little bit shorter than normal because they have another event after us. So it'll be 1 o'clock, still 1 o'clock, on July 13th at the Rogers Road Community Center. We invite folks, come check us out, and we hope our members come as well. We'll be ending that meeting at 2:30, so a little bit shorter than our normal 2 hours. We'll have an hour and a half meeting. So come out and get informed. We got a lot of things going on. The other thing, we just today issued our invitation to the community to join us for our summer book read. Mm-hmm. Which is, we're going to be exploring the topic of Reconstruction by reading the Henry Louis Gates Jr. book, Stony the Road. You know, a lot of the Reconstruction talk is relevant today because of the discussion about reparations.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have at the Flyleaf Books a discussion of the book on July 10th, and also then on the 24th of August, when at the end of the summer, hopefully most folks will have read the book, we're going to have an extensive workshop around Reconstruction, and we have a number of folks, we'll let give you more information as the summer goes on, but we got some great people there who are going to be exploring this issue of Reconstruction and reparations. Mentioning Flyleaf Books, they are giving a 20% discount. They're one of our sponsors, and if you purchase the book from Flyleaf, you can get a 20% discount. Our other sponsor is the Chapel Hill Public Library, and they've ordered some additional copies of the book. I understand there's a pretty long wait list for the book right now, mm-hmm. but if you don't want to buy the book, borrow the book. The more people that ask for it, they'll probably get more copies of it in. So join us for some summer reading at the beach or in the swing or wherever you're going to be relaxing. And then we're going to have hopefully a great community conversation that'll talk about Reconstruction and tie in reparations and why reparations. So looking forward to that this summer.
I know that's true about the library too, by the way. Susan Brown was talking to me about this, and there's apparently a threshold on the wait list where if they get a certain number, they start ordering new books. So yes, get on the wait list for that.
Get on the wait list.
And Reconstruction is such a fascinating part of American history. And it's also, I think, the portion of American history that, and this is by design, we know the least about, because historically this was swept under the rug what happened, and what Americans were taught for a century was both very, very cursory and also mostly false until very recently.
Very false.
Yeah.
And so I just saw something today. I think there's a documentary coming on tomorrow that talks about the North may have won the war, but the South won the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, in fact, set the narrative both about the Civil War as well as about Reconstruction. And so I know most of what I learned about the Reconstruction era was not positive. Mm-hmm. And it was carpetbaggers and buffoonish black people who partied in state capitals and, you know, stole money, and it was very negative narrative, but also untrue.
Yeah, as those scenes from Birth of a Nation,
yes,
get taught as if,
yes,
those are, that's the actual,
exactly,
way that it happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is a really important book, Stony the Road, right, Henry
Stony
Louis Gates?
Stony the Road.
Yep.
I will also mention, because it's been said that we don't read, but we watch the movie, that there is a PBS series, mm-hmm, two-part series on the book. It aired earlier, later in the late spring. But it's a good enhancement to the book, but the book really is great. It's not heavy reading. It's a complicated subject, but I think he does a good job. I'm just getting started on the book myself.
Yeah.
I think he does a good job of making it understandable and not a burden to get through. So hopefully we'll have lots of folks in the community joining us. We're going to be setting up, and probably by next week, I'll have some information about an online chat room that we want to set up too. So as people are reading, if they have questions, they can post the questions. And that way we can have that conversation moving forward as well.
Sounds good. Speaking with Anna Richards, Chapel Hill Carborough, NAACP.com, the website for the local chapter of the NAACP, which I think the statewide chapter, right, just held a press conference yesterday speaking out against this HB 370, the bill that requires county sheriffs to cooperate with ICE, which I think we can say now is not going to get passed into law, because it passed the Senate, but not with a veto-proof majority, and Governor Cooper signaled pretty strongly yesterday that he's going to veto it if it hits his desk, but still a significant issue.
It is a significant issue, and the new version of the bill, so mm-hmm, we got to remember that there was a version,
yes, yep,
of the bill. The first version of the bill sought to force all North Carolina sheriffs to honor detainer requests. Now, a detainer request, and I think it's really important for people to understand, really is not a judicial order. Mm-hmm. It's not signed. It's not an arrest warrant. It's something from ICE that says, we'd like you to detain this person. So there was no legal standing for that.
Yeah. And detain them beyond the point when legally they,
yes,
should be released,
yes,
right?
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. And so the individuals that were targeted by this detainer request are typically otherwise eligible for release, mm-hmm, from jail or prison. So, yeah, they've done serve whatever sentence or whatever they had. And this was something that was issued by ICE to just hold them longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had real turnover in sheriffs in the state of North Carolina in the fall election. And after, you know, many of these sheriffs had run on platforms that pledged to no longer honor these requests.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've come out with a new version of the bill.
After these sheriffs all won.
After,
yeah,
they all won.
Like in all of these,
yes,
all of these counties,
yes,
like it was the same result,
yes,
every time.
Yeah,
yeah,
every time.
Yeah.
And so what they've done is they've removed this formal opposition.
Mm-hmm.
But they still what they've done is kind of made it a harsh penalty for the sheriffs who refuse to go along with the process. So instead of now punishing folks who are free to go, they've turned it so that it punishes the sheriffs. And so the Sheriff's Association was at first opposed to the bill based on that premise that it infringed on the constitutional rights of the sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
There's
they've
not,
withdrawn their,
yeah,
opposition
they've withdrawn,
now. Yeah,
withdrawn their opposition.
Right.
So this whole immigration issue is one that I struggle I struggle with the reports of the folks being held down at the border, the children, the babies, 5-month-old babies who haven't been bathed, who are in dirty clothes, who all argued by the Trump administration and ICE officials don't need soap or toothbrushes to maintain.
That was a legal
hygiene.
Argument that
yes,
was made
that was
in a federal
legal,
courtroom
yes,
2 days ago.
Yes,
yeah, or
yes,
last week,
last,
I think. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So it's administrative and legislative racism, which is what the state NAACP convincingly described the legislation. It tries to undermine the will of the people, because the people elected these sheriffs who said they were not going to enforce these. And so forget what the people said. They elected these sheriffs on the basis of that, but we're going to punish the sheriffs if they don't go along with it. So total disregard for the will of the people.
Speaking with Anna Richards, other things on your mind, other things that people want to know about?
Well, I also, in addition to this, we are, just really looking forward to getting people registered.
Mm-hmm.
The local elections are coming up. We have developed a questionnaire that we just got the final version of last night that we'll be sending out to all candidates for local office.
The filing period's coming up.
The filing period's coming up. It ends on July 19th,
I think. Yeah, that Friday.
Yeah. So we have local elections for county commissioner.
Well, not county commissioner.
Not a commissioner.
Yeah, that's next year.
Town council and
yep.
school board.
School board. Yep.
Town council and school board.
And mayor as well.
And
if those
mayor.
Are contested.
And
yeah.
mayor. And so. Hillsborough will be interesting because the longtime mayor there is not running for re-election. In both Chapel Hill and Carrboro, the incumbents are running again.
Yep.
So we do have a questionnaire that'll be mailed out to all the candidates, and we'll be publishing the answers on our website, so people have an opportunity to look at that. The other thing that we're doing, we have signed on to an effort that's being led by the League of Women Voters for fair districting in North Carolina. And we signed on, there are really to just the principles of what does it take to set up fair election reform. And so we're hoping, we don't know if this is something that's going to catch here in North Carolina, but the League of Women Voters has looked at a number of states where this is the case. We had some folks come in. I went to a panel and heard more about what happens and how it works. So we'll see if this kind of a commission that works in other states could be something that might take the political maneuvering that we have with districts here in North Carolina, take that maneuvering out.
I think it's just about keeping the pressure on in this case, because in all of those other states where it's happened, it's because people kept the pressure on all that time, and it's a consequence of people deciding to care about democracy and the democratic process rather than about getting the outcome that they want, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't care how the law gets made, as long as it's a law that I want, that's all I care about. We need to set that aside and focus on actually doing it right in addition to getting the outcomes that we're pushing for. Yeah.
So.
Chapel Hill, Carrboro, NAACP.com for more information on all of those issues and all of those upcoming events. Anna Richards, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.